Welcome to this very special edition of A Sporting Discussion, your podcast that discusses sports of all sorts. I'm Andrew Donison, and as ever, I am joined by AJ Mithen. Hello, AJ.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, everyone listening.
It is summertime here in Australia, AJ. We've had some beautiful weather.
Fantastic weather. Beautiful weather for a swim, Andrew.
It is. I was going to say, what do Australians love to do at this time of year more than abuse their tennis stars?
We throw ourselves into the ocean, into pools, into rivers, lakes, estuaries, backyard wading pools, you name it. If there's water in it, someone will try to get into it.
Absolutely. And some of us are excellent swimmers. And I say some of us, I mean Australians. And some of us, me and you, i.e. me, are not necessarily the greatest when we go in the water. But
50% of a sporting discussion is not really good at swimming.
A poor swimmer.
Which is where this all comes from, today's show.
Yeah, there is a brand new app that has been released, which is encouraging people, no matter what level of swimming you are, to get into the pool and log a few, either log a few laps or log a few extra laps.
Yeah, the app's called iSwim, and it's available on all the app stores that you need, and it's part of the Australia Swims campaign, which is a bunch of swim clubs or individuals around Australia logging their laps and logging their kilometres, logging their metres, it doesn't matter how much you do, logging that onto the app and trying to get around the coastline of Australia.
Yeah, so the app itself, it's like a Fitbit. Instead of walking, it tracks how far you've swum, but it also provides swimming tips as well, so you can learn how to breathe a little better. I think the functionality will eventually, if it doesn't at the moment, include videos, which will be quite handy for people like me who would read something and go, I don't quite understand what that means, but you can see your progress as well. So as you say, the idea is for people around Australia to pledge a number of kilometres across a 10-day period to swim. I think they want to circumnavigate the coastline of Australia.
That's right. 35,877.
Wow. Okay.
To the metre.
Now, the reason we're talking about this is we were lucky enough to have the opportunity to speak to one of the ambassadors for iSwim, James Magnuson.
Yes. One of the features of the app is the training programs are there for the elite swimmers. There's a few there. There's Mac Horton, James Magnuson, a few others as well. And the app shows you what they go through in a day's training and their special adapted series is there.
Yeah, and so when we spoke to James, you mentioned that this was on Saturday, so day two or day one of the 10-day initial Swim Australia or Australia Swims.
Yes.
And it was 8,500 kilometres had been pledged by then. How many have been pledged now?
Yeah, Australia Swims goes for 10 days from the 19th to the 28th of January, and right now there's 12,085.64 kilometres in the bank. So what's that, about a third of the way through the challenge with a few days left, days left?
Yeah, we're day four.
Gonna do that easy.
That's pretty good. So hopefully everyone will get out there and log their kilometres. But what we were lucky enough to do, obviously we spoke to James about the iSwim app, and we also spoke to him about his career in swimming and his life in the spotlight as well.
Yeah, Sporting Discussion's not going to pass up the opportunity when we get an elite athlete on to ask a few questions and learn a few things about, especially about some big events that did happen in the news back in 2012 around the London Olympics times.
Yeah, as listeners will probably know, and as you'll no doubt find out in about 12 minutes' time, James came second in the 2012 100-meter freestyle, which is a great effort, wonderful effort.
Mm,
except it was seen as a failure by pretty much
mercilessly shredded by the press and a lot of the public who expect a lot of our swimmers. But
and he's got some really interesting things to say about that actually as well.
Yeah, so we should probably step out of the way. Let's play the interview. Here's James Magnuson.
James Magnuson, welcome to A Sporting Discussion.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries. As two, I guess, renowned sports watchers that we are rather than professional participants, we want to talk to you about what it takes to make it at the professional level. But first, you're an ambassador for a brand new swimming app called iSwim. What's iSwim all about?
So iSwim is an app launched by Swimming Australia, where basically professional swimmers like myself and a few of the other guys on the Australian swim team have put together some training programs for your everyday swimmer to help keep you motivated, to give you a bit of an idea of some of the things we do and some scalable, sessions that you can try yourself. So it's just a good opportunity. It's free to download. Good opportunity for your average swimmer down at the local pool to have a crack and get a few tips off us.
And it's all about encouraging people to get out and have a swim. And so people can pledge certain number of kilometres. And I think there's a theory that they want to have the circumference of Australia pledged in kilometres. And on day one already, there's 8,500 kilometres already pledged.
Yeah, it's not too shabby. I'll be honest, not too many of those are my own. I'm a sprinter, so I don't punch out too many kilometres, but I'll throw a few in myself.
I was going to say, you've come this morning from a training session or helping out at a local pool. What do you do in the community when you're not training for your professional side of things?
Yeah, today I'm just up in Newcastle actually doing a swim clinic for some of the locals up there with some other members of the Australian swim team. So it's always nice to kind of give back a bit. I know myself, I grew up in Port Macquarie and didn't really have much access or exposure to any professional swimmers. And when you don't have that exposure or access to people who are doing it for a living, it really makes it seem a very distant and sometimes unachievable goal to become a professional swimmer. So whenever I get the opportunity to go out in the community, I always jump at it.
Well, that's great to see that you're giving back to the community and helping the kids get along, because I remember when I was growing up, there was a few kids who were really good swimmers who would, you'd know they'd be swimming from about 5 a.m. in the morning, but you didn't know much else. And it's great that kids can get an understanding of how, you know, what's involved, not just the basics about swimming in general, but also what's involved if they want to make it, if they've got a bit of talent and they want to push all the way to the top.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in years gone by, and particularly for country athletes, there's a bit of a disconnect about what it takes to make it to the top. You know, I don't train any hard or any more often now than I did when I was 13 through to 16 years old. It's just about being smarter about it and working on, you know, different aspects of your lifestyle. But there's really not that much more that goes on to it. Those kids that are at the top level at the ages of 13 through 16 are really doing the maximum amount of training possible.
You talk about the level of training and the amount required. Can we just have a bit of a chat about that? Like, we know that people who want to keep fit will do a certain amount of training. People who are at a club level do a next level amount of training. But the workload to become a professional athlete and a professional swimmer in your case, how much work do you do in the lead up to events, and do you need to map when the big events are to make sure that you're doing the most of the load at the right time and tapering off at the right time as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we map out training cycles and do macro and micro planning for different, intensities of training. But at the kind of crucial times of the year, we'll be spending at least 16 to 20 hours in the pool, another 6 to 8 in the gym, and then more doing different, cross-training type activities. Sometimes that's cycling at altitude. People spend time in altitude tents at night sleeping, and then you've got other recovery methods like physio, ice baths, massage, stretching, triggering, all that kind of jazz that goes into it as well.
And you talk about the cross training and the cycling. When you're a swimmer and you've just got that lonely black line to look at, the importance of training outside of the pool, is that just as important as the inside of the pool, both for the physical and the mental side?
Yeah, I think so. I think swimming is a very old school sport. So in a lot of ways, that's only just being discovered. And there's a lot of coaches that are still, I guess, not big believers in that cross training. The other problem with swimming is it doesn't really transfer too well to any land sport. So there's not a lot of similarities between, say, running or cycling and swimming. But you can use it for that aerobic fitness and to get in generally good shape rather than spending hours, you know, lapping up and down the swimming pool.
Yeah, I was going to ask about whether the outside of the pool methods had changed at all, but you've just pretty much covered that off for us because there's a whole... worlds of advancing in off, you know, cross training, running weights if you need to do them, those sort of things. But it seems that the techniques in the swimming training is there much difference, or is it just all load management?
Yeah, a lot of it's load management and varying intensities. There's a lot of sport science these days that goes into it. You know, each coaching program will have a sports scientist and a biomechanist working with them either full or part-time, managing loads, managing kind of stress on the body and monitoring where each athlete's at.
Have you ever, you've been in the game for a long time now, have you ever had someone try to change your technique or a breathing rhythm or anything like that along the journey?
Really small changes. I think the biggest changes were made when I moved down to Sydney when I was 18 to kind of have a real crack at it. My coach then at the time, Brent Best, tweaked quite a few things. But once you've got a good formula, you kind of don't want to mess with it too much. And a lot of it at that very top level is instinctive and natural. So you kind of don't want to mess with that rhythm too much.
Now, James, moving on to your performance, particularly from a national perspective, you've been hugely successful, winning 15 medals across all the major competitions, and we would have, a lot of our listeners would have seen the comments around the Winter Olympics and how the Australian public really sort of got around just the fact that people were participating, and when someone came third, it was like, oh, that's great, good on them. Whereas swimming in Australia is now and always has been something that people hold with such pride, and we have, you know, the trials are shown live on TV in prime time. Everyone watches the swimming and expects people to do well. When things don't necessarily go as planned, such as in 2012 for yourself, when you were 0.01 seconds from claiming gold and you were crowned as the second best swimmer in the world at the time, but it was almost seen by the general public as a failure. How does that impact you when you've given your absolute best, you're the second best in the world, and people are looking at it through a different sphere to you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, and once you kind of get your head around it, it makes things easier, is that everything is media-driven. The public opinions are media-driven, whether people realise that or not. How the media reacts to a certain performance is really then mirrored by how the public reacts. And I think a big lesson that I learnt, particularly as a part of London, was that most people in the media are not there to be your friends. I had a number of years there where any interview I did, anywhere I went, the media were just pumping up my tyres and telling me how good I was. And as a young athlete and just a young young man, I think it was very easy to believe that hype and to get caught up and carried away with it and be portrayed in a certain light by the media. And then as soon as things didn't go to plan, it was those same people that turned on me very quickly. So, you know, I learned a good lesson. And I think the main thing for me as an athlete that I learned was that I have a very good understanding of who I respect and who I look up to. And I take their opinions on board. I take their criticisms and I take their feedback and really try to learn and better myself in that. And outside of those people, anyone else's opinions or comments, I just disregard and don't lose any sleep over it.
Yeah, which leads me to the next question about the support and resilience provider, because yourself and the swim team in general really does cop it when results don't go as people hope them to go, however realistic those expectations are. Is there support out there? Does Ausport give you support, resilience, you know, mental health, all of those sort of things, support with that, or do you have to go find your own with your family and friends and coaches?
Yeah, no, you have to find your own within your own, I guess, support groups. Like me personally, in Sydney, I've got my own, swim coach, strength coach, physiotherapist, biomechanist, sports scientist, my own team, my manager, and it's within that small group that I find the support. But yeah, on a national level, it's not like a football team where you spend every day together every year, everyone's got the same goals and you've got a support team around you supporting that. We come together as a swimming team or as an Olympic team once every year or every 4 years, and then you go home to your own training program and are kind of left to your own vices. So you really do have to build up your own support network, and that's something that keeps you in good stead for the rest of your career if you can build up a really reliable group around you.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't considered that, because the way when it's Olympics, World Champions, Pan Pacs time, we see the swimming team as the team, and it's kind of the assumption in the Aussie sports world is that it's kind of like a footy team where everyone's, you've got your support teams and all of that sort of thing. So that's really interesting to hear that.
Yeah, it's very different. And, I think there's only one or two other members of the Australian swim team in New South Wales at the moment. So for... 360 days of the year, I don't even see any of the other swimmers. And then you're expected to come together as a cohesive group and perform as one team. So it's a very different concept.
That's incredible. Do you think Andrew and I are big on people being realistic about expectations and realistic after performance, but do you think the Aussie public and media, I guess by extension, are getting a bit more realistic about how Australians are performing and how individuals are going, and they might be easing off a little bit? Or as a professional athlete, what do you think about all of that?
Hard to say. I mean, the tough thing is, if you look back as far as, say, the Sydney Olympics, any swimming race you watch is pretty much Australia versus America, right? Whether that be in relays or individual events, one of those two countries is going to be in the medals, and then there'll be some sort of stragglers around that. These days, swimming is very much an international sport. China's strong, Russia's strong, Europe's strong, South Africa's strong. There's challenges coming from absolutely every corner of the globe. And as those challenges come thick and fast, and other countries spend more money on their Olympic sports, we've continued to cut back our funding to Olympic sports each year. So we do have to be realistic and say we can't expect to have the medal tallies that we did back when there was less competition from the rest of the world and when we were investing more money.
That's fascinating, and I think that leads to our the question on everyone's lips. Are you in the process of preparing for the 2020 Olympic Games? Have you made a decision on your future in that regard?
Not yet. I've done bits and pieces. I've stayed in pretty much top shape. Did a little race just before Christmas with my swim club. But I think at this stage, I'm just trying to get myself in the best space physically and mentally to make a good decision. Because either way, it's a really big decision to put my life on hold for another 18 months at 27 years of age is a big call. But, then again, you're a long time retired. So I'm just staying in the best physical shape I can, getting myself in a really good mental space, and I guess also keeping an eye on the rest of the world and what results are doing. That will have an impact on my decision as well.
Excellent. And you talk about the mental side of things, and I'll finish up with one final question about the iSwim app and the benefits to people, not just physically but mentally of swimming. You often hear a lot about people just going into the pool, it clears their mind, they're able to think through problems or ignore problems that are sort of weighing them down. The mental side is so big as well. What would you say to people that are considering getting a little bit more involved in swimming through this iSwim arrangement?
Yeah, I think there's no better way to clear your mind than going for a swim, whether that be doing laps or just jumping in the surf and floating around. It really is the best way to clear your mind and to refresh yourself mentally and physically. And one of the things about this iSwim app and being able to have a look at a couple of little programs that we've put on there is it gets rid of that monotony of just swimming up and down with no real purpose or idea of what you're doing. So hopefully, you know, I've put a little sprint session on there that's something different that, you know, can mix up people's training program and keep it interesting. And I'm sure there's a few other things similar. So it's just a good chance to mix things up a bit and keep it interesting.
That's a good point. I was going to ask, is your full training session training outlook on the app? Can someone decide to have a crack and see if they can do what you can do over a week?
Yeah, pretty much. You can get on there and have a look at my training session and have a crack at it yourself. And I've also got some scalable options in there for beginners and intermediates.
Well, James, hopefully this does push a lot more people to either get into swimming or take it to the next level in their own training. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Sporting Discussion.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
AJ, wasn't that a fascinating discussion with James Magnusson?
It was really interesting. We've spoken to quite a few athletes on the podcast, and a lot of the time we get just drowned in cliche, but that is definitely not one of those occasions. He tells it how it is.
Absolutely. And he was also quite passionate about the concept of ice swimming, getting Australians into the pool, into the water, just and logging more kilometres.
Yeah, getting everyone into the pool, learning the right ways to swim, because if you get that wrong, that's not good.
Yeah, especially people like me. But you're right. Yeah, learning the right way, and that's something that's going to, I think, be in the second release of the app. Is going to be a lot of those instructional videos, and so basically with the app, you can log a swim, track your swimming, so you can see how far, what your heart rate is, what your calories burnt are. You can manually create your own swim sessions, sync it with your smartwatch, get tips and news as well.
Don't take your phone into the water with you. That's probably another thing to take away from all of this.
Yes. Very good tip. And you can participate in challenges as well. Again, in the second release, they're going to have, which I think is in February, they're going to set up something where you can have a group of friends and you can challenge each other. But the biggest thing, and to show how much this is actually supported by the Australian swimming community, have a listen to these names who are involved, and including those who have put it together, instructional videos, etc. James Magnusson, Ali Cole, Alistair Day, Georgia Miller, Adam Cable, Jake Packard, Shayna Jack, Brendan Hall, Brenton Ford, Sam Shepherd, Emily Seaborn, Andrew Lauterstein. That is a long list of...
That's Paralympic champions, Olympic champions, Commonwealth champions, world champions.
Ironmen, Iron Women.
You'd be mad not to try to take some advice from those folks.
Yeah, and the fact that there is Ironmen and Ironwomen, it can be for your ocean swimmers as well. It's not just for your lap swimmers.
So it'll work for everyone no matter how you want to swim and where you want to swim. So make sure you download the iSwim app from whatever app store it is you're using. But more importantly, once you have downloaded the app, make sure you log your kilometres and your laps at australiaswims.com.au. That runs until the 28th of January, and they want to swim the coastline of Australia, 35,877 kilometres.
So very good. Well done.
Got to do your part. Download the app, log your laps, get swimming and get fitter.